Will the real Jesus please stand up? In the early days of television, there was a game show called To Tell the Truth. And the game show would start with the host reading a statement from the central character for the show. And a panel of celebrities would ask questions to three contestants. Two would be imposters, and they would lie. The third would be the actual central character of the show, and that person would always tell the truth. When the show was over, the panelists would then say their guess at which contestant was the actual central character for the show. And the host would end it with the question, will the real so-and-so please stand up? As I was reflecting on today's parable, I thought of that game show and the need to tell the truth about this parable and about Jesus. Will the real Jesus please stand up? Who was Jesus? What did he do? What did he teach? What does he teach us today? These are the fundamental questions that we ask as Christians or would-be Christians. And today's parable raises those same questions again. And we will try to consider what that answer means. For the last couple weeks, we've been considering parables that attempted to describe the kingdom of heaven through the metaphor of a wedding banquet and a bridegroom who was Jesus. Now, unlike the parable today, last week's parable, Jesus didn't say anything or do anything. But in today's parable, Jesus did both. In last week's parable, I suggested it was very disturbing because so much violence was used to describe the kingdom of heaven. Violence, the kingdom of heaven. In today's parable, I would suggest that it's even more disturbing, not because there's violence, but because the description of the kingdom of heaven is without grace. The parable of the ten bridesmaids, usual interpretation, the wedding banquet is a metaphor for the kingdom. The bridegroom is Jesus. The bridesmaids are Christians. The foolish ones are those who falter in their commitment to God. The wise ones are those who maintain their commitment to God. And all of these bridesmaids went with their lamps, with the intention of lighting their lamps and lighting the way for the bridegroom, Jesus, to get to the wedding banquet. Oil is generally considered to be a metaphor for good works. The wise brought extra oil. The foolish did not. So, what is disturbing about this parable? Several things. First, the parable characterizes harshly the bridesmaids, Christians, by saying that they're either wise or foolish. 50% of them are wise and 50% of them are foolish. The wise brought extra oil for their lamps, the foolish did not. Well, where is the grace in that? Grace doesn't turn on in black and white terms in the world that we live in. Grace assumes that there will be a wide variety of circumstances, but grace does not withhold God's compassion and love for others. The second most disturbing thing about this parable is that the bridesmaids, when they learned at midnight that Jesus was going to return, they realized that their lamps were going to run out of oil. And so they went to the wise bridesmaids and said, "Oh, you've got extra oil. Please share with us." And the wise bridesmaids responded selfishly. They said, no, we can't. There's not enough oil for us and for you. Where's the grace in that? Where is the Christian charity in that? Third, in the parable, the wise bridesmaids then went so far as to suggest to the foolish ones, go out in the middle of the night and look for a dealer for oil. And so they did. How often do we ignore the needy, refuse their pleas for help, and send them down the road somewhere else to figure out their problems? Perhaps the most disturbing thing, not perhaps, the most disturbing thing about this parable is the response. We as Christians ask the question, what would Jesus do? And Jesus' answer in this parable is unsettling. The bridesmaids return from getting the oil, and they're too late. Jesus and the other bridesmaids are into the wedding banquet, and the door is shut. And so these foolish bridesmaids that have returned late, they go, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And the response they get recorded in this parable is harsh. Jesus is reportedly to have said, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." And the door remains shut. For me, this is the ultimate value of this disturbing parable. Granted, it reminds us, like other texts, to plan and prepare and be faithful and be alert. But this parable also presents a stark contrast between the grace of Jesus that is so fundamental to our faith. Stark contrast indeed. When the foolish bridesmaids came back and they shouted, "Look, Lord, Lord, open to us." And their answer was a door that remained shut. Now, last week I suggested to you that even with our shortcomings, Jesus will be there welcoming us at the door. But in this parable, Jesus is barring the door. But wait a minute. Jesus, wait a minute. In the Gospel of Matthew, doesn't it include your promise that ask and it will be given to you? Search and you will find? Knock and the door will be opened? Don't you promise us that for everyone who asks, receives? Everyone who searches, finds. Everyone who knocks on the door will be opened. Don't you proclaim that life-affirming, faith-affirming, grace-filled set of beatitudes, the blessing, your blessing, of the poor, the meek, the merciful, and the peacemakers? Jesus, don't you urge us to turn the other cheek? Don't you urge us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us? Don't you bless the little children? Don't you teach us the importance of caring for the poor, the suffering, and the foolish? Stand up, Jesus. Shine upon our heart your truth, that you are a soul seeker, not a gatekeeper. Remind us that you are a lens to a God of grace, not a caricature of a heartless ticket taker. Help us to know that our infallible God does not impose upon us an impossible standard that we too should be infallible. Help us to know and see and hear that you, Jesus, are the sign and symphony of something that is inexplicable, beyond all understanding, something that is of artistry and melody, something that derives from your eternal reservoir of love, something we call grace. Stand up, Jesus, so that we can follow you, not out of fear, but out of awe and gratitude and delight. Amen.